we lived in San Diego, a friend invited me to a Padre game at Petco Park. And it was the brand new stadium at the time. And we didn't park a mile away from the stadium and have to like work through all the crowds. We didn't wait in long lines to get in. We didn't sit in the bleachers. We parked in a preferred parking area just outside of the luxury suites entrance, and we sat in something called a luxury box. And it's called a luxury box because they never want you to leave it. It has wonderful catered food right to your suite. You can sit inside on a couch and watch the game, or on a big flat screen TV, or you can go outside and sit in a comfortable leather chair and watch the game. You have your own host who provides impeccable service. The luxury box is the most relaxing, enjoyable experience I've ever had as a spectator at any live sporting event. It's the nicest, safest place to watch a sporting event. No one ever boos you or spills beer on you in a luxury box. There's only one problem with the luxury box. The game isn't actually in the luxury box. The game is down on the field. And the reality is, God did not make you for a luxury box. God made you to get in the game. And so I want to talk today about leaving the luxury box and getting out of the whole spectator business and getting into the servanthood business. You know how sometimes messages are uplifting and filled with hope and like you're so glad you came to hear them and you walk away with a sense of peace and hope? You know how some messages are kind of like that? Well, I just want you to know up front, this is not one of those messages. When Jesus taught on this subject, he would get right into people's faces and he would say, if you want to follow me, you'll have to become a servant like me. And people would have to decide, do I want to follow him or not? And so this is a very simple message. I want to talk about why we need to get in the game and about why serving really is, as Jesus said it was, the best life possible. And if we miss it and spend our whole life as a spectator, we really miss the life to which God calls us to. And there are certain joys people know only when they get in the game, and we're going to talk about several of those joys today. And the first joy is this: only when I get in the game can I know the joy of growing and developing the gift God has given me. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The idea here is that when you choose to become a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit will take up residence inside you. You have certain abilities and strengths and motivation that God has hardwired in you. And the Holy Spirit will activate those and energize those in a miraculous way so that you can serve other people and build up the church. And I say this because one of the most common reasons people give for not serving is, I'm just not qualified, or I don't think that I have anything special I can do, or I'm just not a spiritual giant or something like that. Well, have you ever read the kind of people God used in the Bible? Rick Warren writes about this. I've modified his list a bit, but these are actual people that God used in the Bible. Abraham, he was on Medicare. Moses had a speech impediment. Joseph was an ex-con. Rahab had a history of sexual misbehavior. David was a homicidal adulterer. Elijah was bipolar. He outran a chariot for a mile one day, and he was suicidal the next day. John the Baptist ate bugs. Thomas doubted. Gideon panicked. Martha obsessed over housekeeping and food preparation. And that's Martha in the Bible, not Martha Stewart. Jonah was directionally challenged. Samson was relationally challenged. Zacchaeus was vertically challenged and integrity challenged and worked for the IRS, and no one really liked him. Jeremiah said he was too young. Sarah said she was too old. Paul was not exactly Dale Carnegie in the tech department. And Peter was like the poster boy for spiritual attention deficit disorder. I mean, these are the people through whom God changed the world. And of course, it begs the question, so what's your excuse? What's my excuse? Anyone in the Bible could have said no to serving because they felt inadequate. They all had reasons to say no. But think what they would have missed. I love what Eugene Peterson wrote. A ruthless honesty will always leave us shattered by our inadequacy for God's work. But this is not about what you or I can do. The Apostle Paul keeps coming back to God in 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God. This is about what Jesus can do through us. This is why the idea of spiritual gifts is so important. A lot of people don't understand this about the church, but God's plan was not for the church just to be like one more volunteer organization where people serve out of manipulation or pressure or guilt or because they get nagged into doing it. I get concerned for some of you who are already time crunched. We live in a very time pressured part of the world. And then you end up volunteering your time for some association or organization or league where you don't have passion there. You're not using your giftedness. And you do it because someone nagged you or pressured you into doing it, and then you have no time or energy or space to serve God where he's actually called you to serve. Please don't do that with your one and only life. You have just one life, and no one is holding a gun to your head about how you spend it. You know, God created the church, and he created this thing called spiritual gifts. It's an amazing idea. He gives them to every follower of Christ, and that includes you and me. He says this is his plan for growing the church. Everyone has a part to play. God's plan for the church is that it would be led by leaders, and then it would be taught by teachers, and then it would be administered by administrators, that people who are suffering would be comforted by people who have gifts of mercy, that people who feel isolated would be included in the church by people who have gifts of shepherding, a community that welcomes people through gifts of hospitality. God has not given me, as one individual in the church, all of these gifts. And thank God he hasn't. God created us and gifted us to be dependent on one another in the church so that the body of Christ can be built up. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And then down to verse 16. "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." God has given us an incredible vision for his church. And my role in it is very clear from verse 12. As a pastor and teacher, my role is to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And in order to grow and to be built up in love, what needs to happen? What does Paul say in verse 16? Each person has to play his or her part. The spiritual gifts of each person in this room are absolutely fundamental to the growth of this church. The spiritual gifts of many of us in this room are fundamental to where God has brought Blue Oaks to this point and to where we will actually be eventually one day. The spiritual gifts in this room are crucial to our future. I was listening to Andy Stanley, a pastor at North Point Church in Atlanta. He talked recently about a principle that I want to share with you. He said he gives his elders who are rotating off the board an opportunity to speak to the board and give a word of wisdom as they're leaving. You know, something that the board might want to consider as they're moving forward, or some word of caution or something like that. And this particular elder who was rotating off was a VP at Chick-fil-A. He told a story and left them with this quote that has just been resonating with me for the last couple months. This is a powerful idea. Back in the 90s, Boston Market was Chick-fil-A's serious competition. They had huge expansion plans that included being a billion-dollar organization by the year 2000. And the Chick-fil-A insiders were kind of nervous about this because this is their real first competition. They had the same customers, the same market space, and all that. Boston Market was looking for an opportunity to grow bigger and faster. And so the leadership of Chick-fil-A started to have conversations about how to grow bigger and faster. And so as this VP shared this story, he said the whole situation culminated in a board meeting in a boardroom at Chick-fil-A headquarters with all the VPs and all the marketing people going back and forth around the table. How do we get bigger, faster? Bigger, faster, so that we can compete with Boston Market. And Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, was at the end of the table, very quiet the entire time. He wasn't even engaged in the conversation. And then for the first time this VP could ever remember this happening, he began to pound his fist on the table until he got everyone's attention. And then he said this, "Gentlemen, I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about us getting bigger." And then he paused. "What we need to be talking about is getting better." And then he said this quote that's really kind of resonated with me these last couple months. "If we get better, our customers will demand that we get bigger." And the implication for us is, if we get better at what happens here on Sundays and what happens in our groups and classes and what happens during the week to make Blue Oaks the church that it is, if we get better at serving and loving and welcoming people in and connecting in community and caring for those in need and teaching the Bible and creating environments where people are experiencing God through worship and equipping the next generation to be disciples of Christ and creating environments that unchurched people love to attend, if we get better at all this, our community will demand that we get bigger. We need to get so much better at what we do that our community demands that we get bigger. And I have to tell you, in order for us to get better before we get bigger, we need everyone who calls Blue Oaks their home to start serving according to their giftedness. We need each person to start playing his or her part. We really need to have like a serving revolution around here to get better before we get bigger. When you serve in your area of spiritual giftedness, you make yourself available for God to work through you in supernatural ways, and we will be a better church because of it. And I can tell you from experience, there are times when you work in an area of spiritual giftedness and God does something in you and you recognize that you could not have done it on your own, your faith is built up in ways that it could not be built up otherwise. That's when you experience spiritual growth like you can't even imagine. If you want to grow spiritually, and I know some of you do, start using your gifts to serve God and to build up the church. And I want to tell you, if you miss this, you miss part of the reason you were created by God, because he gave you a spiritual gift to help build up the body of Christ. And the truth is, there are no spiritual giants. There are just people in the stands, and there are people in the game. And you have to make a move to get out of the stands and into the game. And when you do, you will know the joy of developing the gifts that God has given you and offering them back to him. And we will be a better church because of it. All right, so that's the first joy. Only when I get in the game can I know the joy of growing and developing the gift that God has given me. The second joy is this. Only when I get in the game can I know the joy of making a difference in another person's life for eternity. It's a strange thing. We all know this. When I make the aim of my life to please myself, nothing is never enough. No matter how good my seats are at the game, no matter how luxurious my box is, and we live in a part of the world where there are a lot of really nice boxes, the thrill always wears off because someone else always has a nicer box. And people can spend their whole lives trying to acquire and furnish nicer, better, bigger boxes. And the problem is, sooner or later, everyone ends up in the same box. And it's located at the same address. Do you know where it is? About 6 feet underground. And to whomever the resident is, it doesn't make much difference how luxurious that box is. Whether it's pine or marble, whoever is lying in it doesn't matter. What matters when it's time for your final box is not how many nice boxes you had. It really comes down to who you served and who you helped in the name and the power of Jesus along the way. I recently heard a story about a very unusual airplane conversation. I love this story. This guy got on a flight, and as he walked through first class, he could tell by the laptops and the conversation in the group that all these people worked together for the same company, and they were all having a great time. He walked through into coach, and he got into his seat where he could see that the man sitting next to him worked for the same company as all these people up in first class. And so he asked him, doesn't it make you a little mad that all these people that you know that work for the same company are all sitting up in first class and they're all having a great time and you're kind of stuck back here in coach? Like, how did that happen? And the man answered very simply, they all work for the company. I own the company. And then he explained that he had inherited this company from his dad, and when he took over, everyone gave him the cold shoulder. And when he asked around, he found out that his father had treated everyone around him like gophers. He gave orders, they took the orders. He got the best, they got the leftovers. And so the son decided he would try to do things different. He was the owner, but he would devote himself to their flourishing. He decided even though he was the one in charge, he would seek to serve rather than to be served all the time. He decided that even though he was the owner, he would fly coach and let everyone else fly first class. And I'll tell you the funny thing, he was the happiest guy in the plane. Now think about how different his funeral will be than what his dad's funeral must have been like. When you come to your last box, and you will, what matters then is the people who you've served along the way. And I'll tell you something, I've never met anyone yet who has regretted a life of service. I've never met anyone who came to the end of his or her life, spent serving other people, and said, I wish I would have watched more TV. Like, I wish I would have spent more time as a spectator. All right, another joy. Only when I get in the game can I know the joy of doing what is great in God's eyes. Jesus said, this is really possible, that one day people will stand before God and God will say to human beings like you and me, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful what? We have a job to do. We have a big job. We have to build an alternate culture because in this part of the world, we live in a culture that is just obsessed with stars and celebrities and like who's the greatest. I just want to try an experiment. Think of baseball for a moment. I'm going to count to three, and then I'd like to ask everyone to say together out loud the name of the biggest home run hitter in Major League Baseball in the last decade or so. Who is the biggest home run hitting celebrity in the last decade or so? His first name and last name start with the same letter. You all know who it is, so I'll count to three, and we'll all say it out loud together. One, two, three, Sammy Sosa. I'm just kidding. I'm a Cubs fan, sorry. We live in a world that are obsessed with stars. You can just leave Sammy Sosa up there, yeah. It's great. We live in a world that is just obsessed with stars. And human nature, it's always been that way. And Jesus' followers were actually like this. They were a lot like us. They were always jockeying to see who was the greatest, like who is the star. This actually happened to two of Jesus' followers, James and John. I think this is probably one of the funniest stories in the Bible. These two actually had their mom working together on this one. They had their mom go to Jesus and say, could my boys have box seats with you in your kingdom? Like, could they be seated either on your right or your left in your kingdom? And I picture Jesus just shaking his head at that one. A great New Testament scholar said the single hardest lesson Jesus had to teach his followers was that God defines greatness in terms of servanthood. Jesus would say remarkable things that still grip us 2,000 years later, like, whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant, and the greatest must be a slave to all. One day, Jesus took off his robe, got down on his knees, grabbed a basin of water, and washed his disciples' feet. This was like the most menial task anyone could do in that culture, and Jesus did it. Not because it was his spiritual gift, but because community is built by serving, by people who let go of the whole ego stuff and just roll up their sleeves and start serving. And what people never understood about Jesus, the reason so many people missed him, was because no one thought the Messiah, the Son of God, would come as a servant. That's who he was. He was a servant. And its core, the whole business of spiritual gifts, is not primarily about me feeling fulfilled or about impressing other people with my giftedness. At its core, it's about following Jesus and doing what he did and becoming the kind of person he was. The servanthood that Blue Oaks is being built on is not busy people doing even more. It's people who are in love with Jesus and start to walk closely with him and learn how to be like him and say, all right, Lord, as best as I can, with your help, I'll try to do what you did. And I'm telling you, this is what makes families and churches and marriages great. Community is built on servanthood. We have a hard time with this concept, don't we? A friend was telling me that he didn't realize the effect that serving or not serving was having on his family and his marriage. His wife told him, I want you to know what it does to my spirit when I see you serving. When I see you vacuuming the rug, I feel closer to you. I feel affection toward you. When I see you washing the dishes unasked, I feel romantic toward you. When I see you bathing our kids, I feel physical desire for you. He said, I bathe our kids several times a day. We have the cleanest kids in California. Community is built on servanthood. It's what makes a community great. And I want to talk to you personally right now and just ask you to listen with an open heart. I'd just like you to ask you, maybe just this is between you and God, and you just need to ask God that he would speak to you on this one. You know, some of you, you know the joy of discovering what your spiritual gift is and learning to use it in a lifestyle and a spirit of servanthood. And I'm proud to be a part of a community of servants like we have around here. For those of you who have been doing that, I hope that you feel God's delight. I hope you feel his delight in what it is that you do. And I want to say thank you, because our church would not exist if it were not people who would say, I'll serve. Currently, it takes over 100 volunteers to make Sundays happen at Blue Oaks. We could not do it without you. And I think God is smiling on some of you right now because you make this happen every week. For some of you, the truth is you're still sitting in the luxury box. Like, you're still a spectator. And I want to say this, and I don't know how to say this any other way, and I want to say it with love, but it's time to get off the couch. Don't spend your life there. Because I'll tell you, it will damage you. It will damage your faith. It will make you start to get a little sour and cynical and turn into a spectator and become increasingly passive. And it will make you think more and more that your life is just about you getting into nice luxury box seats someday. It will damage this community. It really will. When people remain spectators after they've received what God has to give as a spiritual gift, it damages community. And if you think, the church doesn't need me. You know, there are lots of people around here. We could just hire more staff to do this stuff. If you think that, then you have fundamentally misunderstood the teachings of Jesus and the nature of the church. The church Jesus came to start was not a church of service attenders. It was a community of servants. And if, because we live in a culture that steals your time and attention rather easily, you've been saying to yourself, I'm just too busy. Then ask yourself, too busy doing what? Like, what am I too busy doing that's going to keep me from hearing one day, well done, good and faithful servant? What's more important than that? For those of you who are ready to get off the couch, I just want to say another word or two. You might be wondering, like, how do I find out what my gifts are? Because I just don't know. Like, do I read a book? Do I take a class? Do I fill out a questionnaire or something? And I just want to say, those are not bad things, but the best advice I can give you is just to start. Just try stuff. Experiment. Get involved in serving somewhere and just see what happens. See how effective you are. See what takes place inside you. I was talking to a guy who started serving on our setup team recently, and he was telling me how much joy it brings him to get up super early on Sunday morning, to be here at 6:30 in the morning, and work hard for an hour so that he can create an environment where people can gather to worship and be taught from the Bible. He said he just loves it. He didn't expect that he would love it so much or that it would be so much fun, but he just loves it. He looks forward to serving in that way. It's actually provided him an opportunity to connect with other guys in the church, and he didn't realize the sense of community that he would feel by serving together with this team of people. You know, maybe for you, it would just be good for you to ask yourself, what are the activities and causes that make my heart beat fast? Some of you have a heart for children. There are many opportunities to serve children at Blue Oaks. Some of you have a deep passion for prayer. Some of you have a great concern for those in need or for the poor. Some of you have organizational gifts. Some of you have leadership gifts. Some of you have gifts of hospitality, and you do an exceptional job of making people feel welcome and giving them a place that they belong. Some of you have been through something real difficult, and God has helped you, and you can give what you've received to help someone else. You know, in Corinth, Paul talked about how we receive comfort from God, and then we're able to give that comfort away to other people. Maybe you've been through an addiction or some kind of loss, and you could help others who are in this deep valley in their life right now, and you could be a mentor to another person at Blue Oaks. Just try something. You probably won't find the best fit, like the sweet spot of your service overnight, but just keep trying. Keep praying. Ask for guidance from God and ask for feedback from other people along the way. I was thinking of an odd picture recently. What would happen if you went to a San Francisco Giants game and there was like no one in the stands? You know, the stands were just completely empty and there were like thousands of people down on the field in the game. I mean, no one in the bleachers, everyone in the game, no spectators, all participants. And I was thinking about our church and I thought, what might happen in this church, in this world, if everyone in this church would get out of the bleachers and get in the game? Do you have any idea? God has lavished gifts on people in this church that are scary. I mean, I don't know what yours are. I don't know what they look like, how big they are, how visible they are, because it doesn't really even matter. The church doesn't operate on that. But if everyone in this church were out of the bleachers and on the field in the game, and all of us were discovering our spiritual gifts and honing them and developing them and giving honest feedback to other people to help them do the same, and cheering each other on and using our gifts in a spirit of servanthood to build up this community and to make a difference in the East Bay. Do you have any idea what might happen? You know, the crazy thing is we can. We can know what might happen. Nothing can stop it except us. All right, the ushers are going to come forward now to receive the offering. And while they do, we're going to watch a video of some people at Blue Oaks who are not sitting in the bleachers. They're in the game. They're serving God according to their giftedness. So ushers, please collect the offering and watch this video.
And one of the things that I really love doing is working with a group called Barnabas, which is a group of business men and women who come alongside Christian nonprofits and help them with their specific business concerns. And so one of the areas that God has gifted me in is strategic. And so I'm able to really help these nonprofits hone down and get very focused on what the problem is and how to take the next steps.
Anytime that I get involved with something, I'm there to be able to help in whatever capacity that is. So if it means to help set up and tear down, that's what that means. If it helps coordinate and plan, that's what that means. But just to be able to get in and serve, I'm not one to sit back and mostly be part of something. I'm usually part of it by serving.
When I got involved with a fundraiser called Multiple Sclerosis 150, it's a bike ride, 150-mile bike ride over 2 days for MS. And I got involved in that because indirectly someone asked me if I would sponsor them, and I wrote them a pretty big check. And they said, well, if you're writing a big check, that typically means it's personal. So what's your story? And I said, well, my sister Bonnie has MS. And then they said, well, why don't you participate in the ride instead of just write a check? And I thought, well, I'm not prepared to do this. I don't ride a bike, but what the heck, I'll do it. And I figured I'd do it once. It's 14 years now, every year. I do it with my sister. And fast forward a number of years, I got involved in the business ministry at church. That's where I met Pastor Matt. That led to being involved in an effort to create a business life group, which I do now facilitate. I run a business life group, and our whole mission there is to integrate our faith and our work.
I have had the opportunity to be on wild adventures and have incredible mentors, and those people helped me figure out that one of my gifts was exhortation, which is to motivate people and the church, and empathy and helps. Here at Blue Oaks, I have the opportunity to be part of the Serve Committee and the Committee for the Young Marrieds.
A couple of them are that I really like to just help out a lot, no matter what it is. So it was put on my heart to really start serving early in the morning and helping with the setup, primarily in like the library and the kids ministries. And the other is also the parking lot team. I'm pretty chipper in the morning. I think I wake up smiling.
What I've found is that my gifts are in business. I have a passion around fighting injustice. I really find it in my heart when I see people struggling, whether it's for struggling through illness like my sister Bonnie, or struggling because someone else is trying to take advantage of them. One of the events that our business ministry put on was a conference, and there was this amazing guy there named Brian Dowd, and he was speaking about how to connect to give your best to God. Not just give your time, but give your best. And he literally talked about how people, for example, with financial and business skills, could certainly help by watching the kids in the playroom, but is at their best. Their best is to apply those financial and business skills in ways that can really help other people. And I felt like he was talking to me. And one thing led to another, and the ability to channel my specific business skills in ways that can help fight sex trafficking, which is what the Red Window Project is all about, is such an honor for me.
So it's very fulfilling to me to know that I have something to be able to offer back to help the situation or to help the event or whatever it might be, as well as being a blessing to others. So it's fulfilling in that sense that I'm part of somebody else's life and including myself in that.
I know that God has a plan and purpose for me, and being able to come to this church has been an incredible experience for my husband and I. And I enjoy being part of a process that's new. So for me, I get excited about all the different things that are happening here, and being able to be part of something from the ground up makes me feel alive, makes me feel excited, and makes me optimistic about where the church is going.
I find it such a powerful experience to connect the years and years of business experience I have, which has allowed me to start and run my own consulting company. God has blessed me so much, it's amazing. And now to channel those skills into a way to give back to the kingdom of God and to serve others. The more I do it, the more I want to do it. It's amazing.
It's so fulfilling, both working with Barnabas and mentoring the women, that I don't even see it as work. I wouldn't even use the word serve. I would say that I feel like a race driver on a racetrack, and I am in my slot, and I am loving every minute of it, and so I look forward to it. It's just so natural and normal for me to do that I really look forward to it with a lot of joy and expectation and anticipation, and I always walk away, whether it's helping a nonprofit or mentoring a young woman, I always walk away completely, totally energized, jazzed, and pumped up. So how it's worked for me is it's a total and complete blessing.
If I wasn't serving, I think it would be very empty. There wouldn't be the purpose behind my makeup. I wouldn't be depositing the things that God has given me in giftings and experience and knowledge to bring back or put back into to give back to others.
Yeah, Had I not probably stepped up and said, I want to volunteer, I'd probably just be one of those people sitting in church listening to Matt saying, you need to do something, or you need to find something to do. You know, a friend of his told him, have you changed your life up? Had I not done that, it's easy to get sucked in these cycles, in these ruts, and we look at us and go, woe is me, what's my problem? But I'm going to church. But really, it's really being out and being active and not just talking a lot. It's actually doing something, whether it's something small or something large, whatever you're doing, you're actually at least participating. If I wasn't participatory, I think I would just probably, my life would be dull, and I wouldn't be growing spiritually as also. Even volunteering, it can really help your mindset and your spirituality and come closer to God, I think, because you see those fruits of your labor. So I would just be...
You know, one of the things that I think people shy away from is the thought that I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, I'm not good at any one thing. And it's amazing how God meets you where you are, and the things that He has given you are unique, and you're not like anyone else. And so when I work in Barnabas, I'm really working with some really high-powered businessmen and women who are very, very successful, and that's just not my thing. But I find that when I work alongside them, the gifting that God naturally gave me, which is the strategic thinking and the global thinking, and some of the other giftings He's given me, just segue and work really well with what these high-powered business people actually have to bring to the table in terms of practical application.
Here at Blue Oaks, we have a compassion ministry, and we are currently evaluating all the different objectives and mission statement that we have to make this part of our church effective. We are looking at local, international, and church-wide opportunities to serve. And right now I get to be part of a team of people that are excited to serve in any of those areas. So with my gifts, I get to be able to encourage and motivate the people on my team that it is really important that we establish all of these goals and move forward as a church to make everyone that's watching this video volunteer.
Going to church every week, you just go there, but we're Christians the other 6 days. But also it helps you really like meet more people. And I was telling my fiance the other day how much it's meant to me to get actual time with some of the other people at Blue Oaks that we volunteer with, one-on-one time while we're at church. So it's really just been actually great to develop those deep relationships, and primarily relationships I'm seeking from some of the other men here that are spiritual leaders that I've really looked for my whole life. So it's really like gone from a helping manner to getting actual counsel and seeking God's guidance from them. So I really think that's fulfillment like right then and there from that. But also knowing that what we're doing, what I'm doing is helping the kids out and helping other people out that are coming to the church. And even just to help one person out, I've always just loved that mentality of if it's for one person, it's worth everything. And that I think is truly what I think God calls us to in community, is to continue to do that, help others, serve others, and be there for others. And I just see so many talents come together that makes this whole thing a success. And it's been going for almost a year straight, and it's continued to build upon it.
Even the idea of mentoring, I'm like, okay, I've been a teacher, I love teaching, but gosh, how do I go about teaching about Christ? Well, I'm not actually teaching, I'm just using the natural gift that God's given me to share Jesus and to help these young women understand who they are. So once I got over the intrepidation of, gosh, I don't have anything great to give, I realized that anything that God gives me is worthy of giving back.
I absolutely do. I respond very much to the teachings that Pastor Matt has raised, that we're all one body. We all have a place and a role in this, and our mission in life is to serve other people and to love them. And while I may have certain skills in business that can fill a certain role, other people have tremendous skills in other areas that can serve others. And it doesn't have to, we all are needed in the kingdom of God. It's not one or the other. There's many, many ways to serve. And I would just encourage people to find things that they feel that they are gifted to do, that they enjoy doing. Because if you don't have a passion around it, it's not going to stick. You're going to get tired. And it's not all fun and games all the time. So to find things that you know are special gifts that God has given you And we all have them. We all have them. And to find ways to channel those gifts in a way in serving other people is what it's all about.
I hope if you are already serving that you're just inspired to keep going, keep serving, keep doing what it is that God gifted you and called you to do. If you're not, if you're a spectator kind of in the stands, I hope this challenges you to get in the game and start doing something to help build this church and to advance God's kingdom here on this earth. I think you'll find more fulfillment in doing that than a lot of the other things that you might be doing in your life. So get engaged. You can stop by our serve tent and talk to Janae about some opportunities that we have around here, or I'm sure there are a lot of opportunities in our community that you can get involved in and serve as well. All right, so now the people who are serving communion are going to come forward, and as Justin plays this next song, we're just going to take communion. And so I just encourage you to take a moment and just pray, and just the Bible says that we are to confess our sins and kind of do business with God before we come to the communion table. And so I'd encourage you to do that. And then when you're ready, come forward and take a piece of the bread that represents Christ's body that's broken for us, and so that we may have life in all its fullness and the life that Jesus offers, and then dip it into the cup, which represents Christ's blood that's shed for us, so that we may have forgiveness of sins. It says, as far as the east is from the west, our sins are removed. And so take the bread and the cup and just remember all that Christ has done for you, and just come whenever you're ready.